A reading from Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Or, they set out round the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people were impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water. We detest this miserable food." Then people spoke against Moses, "For there is no food and no water," and they detested the miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. This is the word of God for the people of God. A second reading from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For those who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to all. O Christ, amen.
Peace of Christ be with you all. This morning, if I ask you, what is your favorite Bible verse that you have memorized? Or what was your very first Bible verse you memorized? What would be your answer? I bet many of you say, "Is John 3:16. Yes, let's say it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. I know many of you can remember many or some other verses by heart, but this John 3:16 must be the most popular and famous verse for you and for many Christians around the world. It has also been called the gospel in a nutshell because it is considered a summary of the central theme of traditional Christian faith. That's why some Christians try to display big signs that say John 3:16 at sports games, concerts, and many other mass gatherings in order to seek attention of the fans, audiences, and the crowd. Furthermore, we can find this John 3:16 in our popular culture. Look at this drink cup. John 3:16 is printed on the bottom rim of an In-N-Out Burger paper cup. The fashion store Forever 21's bags also show John 3:16. Here is a park bench with John 3:16. This guy has a tattoo with John 3:16. Of course, John 3:16 appears to be the most quoted and well-known Bible verses, proverb verse. However, this morning, let us pay attention to the very previous sentence just before verse 16. It's verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." As you can see, verse 15 is almost identical to verse 16. While this verse 16, verse 15, 16, and all the following verses are crucial, this verse 14 would be the key verse that is related to the Old Testament reading this morning, which is the passage from the book of Numbers. The gospel writer John recalls the event from the book of Numbers and connects its significance to what Jesus has done on the cross. So, what is the historical background of the event John refers? Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The Old Testament passage from Numbers shows the story of the bronze serpent and Moses. I am sure you are familiar with this peculiar passage, which serves as the background for this morning's message. It seems as if Moses had nothing but trouble from the people of Israel in the wilderness. The crowd never seems to stop being impatient and complaining against Moses and against God. Obviously, they keep forgetting that they were set free from slavery in Egypt. But this is not the first time. They have been grumbling and whining from day one of the Exodus and the wilderness journey. Every time they cry out, Moses tries to feed them and provide all the necessary things. Probably those loud and complaining people were expecting something better than before. Maybe super manna, better meat, or more drink. However, unlike all those previous occasions of God's provisions for the people, this time God's response is really serious and even deadly. Somehow, without any reason or explanation, God punishes the people in a horrible way. Verse 6, "Then the Lord sent poisonous serpent among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died." God sent what? Serpent, poisonous serpent. "And these serpents bit the people, and many people died." Is this God's way of saying enough is enough? or what? Has God's patience run out because of the complaining people's impatience? Anyhow, surprisingly, this harsh punishment seems to be working. Verse 7, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Surely the people repent and they ask Moses to pray. And what is their specific prayer request? Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us. So I am sure Moses prays to God, citing the exact plea from the people. However, those deadly serpents are not gone. The people are still being bitten by those snakes and dying from the poison. Then Moses hears from God. Verse 8, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live.'" Does it work? Yes. Verse 9. "So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live." Wow, amazing. Even though those serpents are not disappearing, but still coexisting among the people, whoever bitten would look at the bronze serpent and live. The religious background of the traditions in this passage are complex. The belief is widespread that the image of a dangerous image can function as protection against it. And the image of the snake in particular is associated with healing rituals in various religions throughout history. I think this was considered as some kind of talisman. A talisman is an image or an object that can magically drives evil spirit out. For example, in Korea, like 100 years ago, there was a time when there were so many rats in the houses. So people purchased talismans, paper talismans, to get rid of those rats. Look at this talisman. This talisman with a cat image was so popular, and people put this talisman in the houses. Why cats? Because cats can exterminate rats. Of course, it was superstition, not science. However, this bronze serpent was not meant to be driving those deadly snakes out. Rather, it was given by God as a gift of healing. Whoever would look at the bronze serpent will live. I'm not sure it would be a proper illustration or not, but maybe it's like we pray to God for having the coronavirus disappeared, right? Unfortunately, the deadly virus will not go away. But COVID vaccines have been invented, thank God. And these vaccines can protect people from being infected and from dying. So, even though we human beings are coexisting with this virus, now and ever, our lives will be able to move on. Maybe these vaccines would work as a gift of God and as a similar way of the case of the bronze serpent. The people are given choices of life and death. Anyhow, when we read a passage from the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, this morning, we might wonder something. We have a problem of understanding this bronze serpent that Moses made. Didn't God command not to make any graven image? Exodus 24 says, "You shall not make yourself an idol." This is the second of the Ten Commandments. Why would God violate his own commandment given to his own people? Have you ever wondered this before? Well, simply put, Moses' bronze serpent was not an idol. From verse 8, "Everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." Yes, the people were only to look at the bronze serpent. Wow, what an easy way of healing, right? It was not an idol, but a gift of God. The second commandment continues in Exodus 25. "You shall not bow down to them or worship them." The people were never required to bow down or worship the bronze serpent, but only to look at it for healing. That's what exactly happened in that time. However, later, if you read the book of 2 Kings, the king Hezekiah purified the worship, and one of his projects was to destroy the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Here is the 2 Kings 18:4. He, Hezekiah, removed the high places, broke down the pillars, and cut down the sacred pole. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan. Nehushtan. Yep, yes, the king destroyed the Nehushtan, the bronze serpent. It appears that over time, since the wilderness time, people must have changed the symbol of healing into the object of idolatry. I guess human conditions and natures never change. Now, let's go back to the Gospel of John, verse 14. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In this sense, Moses' bronze serpent was a pre-shadow of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ by itself is not an object of worship, but an emblem of God's love through Christ, who gave his life for you and for me. It is the genuine and unwavering faith, trust, and obedience you have in God through Jesus that truly matters. Hebrews 12:1-2 emphasizes this. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Yes, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So, as you are fully aware by now, the phrase "lifted up" has the double meaning. Number one, up on the cross. And number two, up into glory. Our opening hymn, this song led by Kathleen, was Majesty. The second part of the song, the hymn goes like this: Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Moses' bronze serpent that was being lifted up was God's gracious provision for healing and salvation when the people suffered God's judgment and punishment for their unbelief, distrust, and disobedience. And Jesus being lifted up was an act of love from God toward the world through the work on the cross and the ascension of the glorified Christ. Yes, God's amazing love was revealed in the life of Jesus Christ and is still being revealed in our lives and shared among us. And God's steadfast love compels us to follow Jesus every day and every moment with joy and gratitude. I'd like to close my sermon with the Christ hymn from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Please join me in this responsive liturgy. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God.